Ulrich is a chain-smoking, tough-as-nails investigative journalist for the New York City newspaper, The Daily Bugle. Lois Lane is an award-winning, tough-as-nails reporter for the Metropolis newspaper, The Daily Planet. Chris Hoffman is not. He's the guy we got on a podcast. It's time for the Lane Ulrich Report with extra special correspondent, Chris Hoffman.
This is Chris Hoffman with the Lane Urich Report for October 6th, 2022. Today, my guest is Nick Cagnetti, who's the co-founder of Radical Realm Comics and the comic book creator behind the titles Infinite Wonders, The Spirit of the Shadows, and Pink Lemonade, which is out now at your local comic book store from Oni Press. He's currently residing out of Phoenix, Arizona, where in 2019, he was named the best comic book artist in Phoenix by the Phoenix New Times. He's a big Spider-Man fan, and he was introduced to me as the second coming of Mike Allred. So, Nick Cagnetti, welcome to the show.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it. Always fun talking to anybody about this stuff.
I always tell people that listen to the podcast or that find us at comic book conventions or at the store, this is exactly the way I would just talk if I met you on the street. We'd be having the same conversation. Fun thing here is just other people get to kind of be involved.
Yeah, that's great.
So that is let's just start there because, like I said, I got a text one morning that said, "You got to see this guy's artwork. My friend Andrew said this guy's looks like the second coming of Mike Allred." And I noticed you actually have a pull quote from him on Pink Lemonade, right?
Yeah, on the original printing from 2019, my old publisher managed to get it in front of Mike Allred, and he was kind enough to say that about the book, which was like a dream come true for me because Mike Allred's work was honestly like one of those early instances of me as a reader just like seeing the light, so to speak, being like, comics can be like so much more. They can be so fun. Like, I want to do stuff like that. And, I've met Mike and Laura a few times, honestly, just by happenstance, a local convention once, but then like a decade ago, I was at San Diego doing a portfolio review and I was just wearing a Madman shirt and I was falling asleep because it was taking so long, but I was dozing off and I heard somebody say, "That's a nice shirt." And then I opened my eyes and it was Mike and Laura standing there and I'm just like, "Whoa." And I just sprung up and I'm like, "Thank you. I got it off your shop."
That's amazing. What a cool happenstance. And that really makes it worth it to have that on. What? That's really cool.
Yeah.
But he's got to have like a bead of sweat because like you're coming for him, right? Like it really is like people. I really encourage everybody first off to go get your copy of Pink Lemonade. But if you get a chance, go check out Nick's artwork on all his social media. And it is uniquely yours, but it is a callback for certain. Pink Lemonade seems to be like a very much an embodiment of it because I don't want to say breaks the rules, but it sure, there's a lot of comic book layout there that is experimenting with the style.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely tried to do stuff like that. I wanted the character to sort of be like a vehicle for that kind of experimentation and just sort of having fun with the medium. And I think the character's personality especially sort of makes a great canvas for that sort of thing. Cause she is a blank slate in a lot of ways, but it's also a way for me just to wrestle with these things where, I'm trying to focus on trying to reconnect with that sense of like childlike wonder and that sense of joy that you get from comics as, when you first discover them and you fall into these worlds, you know, you're full of that wonderment and awe and it gets you to want to dive in and make your own stuff. Like, anyway, that's sort of what happened for me, like as a kid and stuff. So, you know, it's just sort of been like a big experiment in trying to capture that kind of feeling and you know, wrestle with those sort of things, because in a lot of ways, I think there's a lot of things you need to grapple with just, you know, coming from it. And as a grown up, you know, you see like the dark corners of things creeping in, and you gotta like try and find a way to stay afloat through it all. And that really just sort of became like the driving force of the narrative. It's just like, can she stay, you know, true to herself through all these influences going around her?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, tell everybody a little bit about Pink Lemonade and the title character.
Well, the funny thing, you know, seeing some of the reactions out there online, random reactions, I saw a lot of people saying like, I don't know what the heck I just read, but they're on board at least to see how some of it pans out. So I think that's kind of a fun way to describe it, is you just don't know what you're reading, you know. But I think it's just tried to capture kind of sincere kind of quality, and try and do something a little bit more wholesome, honestly. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it's you're grappling with the real life dark corner aspects of entertainment and all these things that we consume, just trying to maintain the heart through it all, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so the main character there is and kind of looking at your Indiegogo here for this, I want to talk about the crowdfunding, certainly. It's very interesting. But so it says here, Pink Lemonade dreams of doing big things, and she wants to be good help where she can, but things don't always work out the way we plan. And as soon as Pink Lemonade finds herself in jail after a big misunderstanding with some cops, while trying to help a child, and just when you think she's sunk, a powerful man shows up with an offer she may not be able to refuse. But is it too good to be true? Excuse me. Gosh, you can tell I haven't done this for a little bit. This is my first time back at the mic for for a little while.
No worries.
Yeah. So, but in the opening sequence in Pink Lemonade, Pink Lemonade's like on a motorcycle, and looks like she's trying to like it's almost a stunt bike thing. It harkened back to me to like the old like Ghost Rider comics.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then dream sequences. Something about your artwork in here is that, and it's what evokes the Mike Allred comparisons, is that there's a lot of very bold colors, a lot of very bold lines, but also a very an eye towards the storytelling. So it's like you said, people might be looking through it and be like, man, I was dazzled by everything in here. How do you sort of like approach this style, where it's not a traditional superhero comic book style? It's a little bit more certainly indie style. What sort of draws you to that?
Right. Well, I mean, I grew up reading obviously lots of superhero comics. I loved Spider-Man my whole life. So I think part of what my approach is trying to blend the love of that mainstream sort of stuff with the more independent kind of flavor, and try and marry the two as best I can. You know, in my last decade or so, or like really getting serious about this stuff, really just tried diving in more into the weirder corners of comics, and, you know, just like just getting acquainted with and falling in love with stuff like all of Dan Clowes' work. I think that ended up being a big influence on me, just in terms of his focus on lots of oddballs and just looking at them with sincerity. And that's sort of part of the hope for the art is just trying to capture that kind of oddball quality and just do it in a kind of sincere way. But the fun thing was like doing lots of like blending sort of styles and stuff with like characters. Like there's a character in there called Ron Radical, and he's like a extreme 90s kind of parody guy, and he's always got like a backlight on him and everything. So it was really fun just trying to like channel the inner Rob Liefeld sort of 90s charm. Mm-hmm. And mix those flavors together and make it kind of all just coexist in one world. Right. There's a lot of random bits and bobs of different eras of comic book culture and comic book flavors in there that I wanted to try and mix together, because I think part of the thing I'm most excited for out of all this is just sort of seeing how people are going to react to how this stuff sort of plays out. Cause, from day one, I sort of had the whole outline for this stuff all together. And, I'm hoping it's surprising in a good way. Cause it was a labor of love, and just tried to celebrate everything I love about comics and put it into as polished of a thing as I could make after doing this stuff for about a decade now. I just really tried to pour it all into something that would really push myself and make something that. I could feel more proud of, because all the previous stuff I'd done was every book I'd worked on up to then, I was always seeing incremental growth. And thankfully, still, as I'm doing all this stuff, I keep seeing that growth in what I'm doing. And I'm just, happy that I was able to notice that at least. And
oh, sure.
I mean, going into the first issue in particular, it was important for me, like in my head, like I gotta put in as much crazy stuff in here that I know is things people say are hard to draw, things like that editors might be always noticing. And it was stuff like putting dogs in there and cars and big crowds and crowded rooms of crazy objects and all kinds of things like that. I was just trying to focus on and get acquainted with, and just I think that's a thing that's valuable to do, is just in general is go outside your comfort zone with the what you're forcing yourself to draw.
Right. No, it's a great idea. Like always tell students and people that ask what they should draw, like get good at drawing horses if you're an illustrator, because like every advertising agency needs illustrations of horses. Like you have a bank, there's probably an illustration of a horse. Grocery store, horse. So like you're saying, dogs. And that's actually very interesting. Like the were you getting like feedback on like your portfolio reviews, like before we started? Or no, you were mentioning like having your portfolio at San Diego Comic-Con to get reviews. Were you incorporating that sort of stuff, like the crowded rooms and whatnot, based on like feedback you were getting on your portfolio review?
Honestly, no. The portfolio reviews in San Diego that I did, they were pretty, surprisingly to me at the time, positive on my stuff. And they gave me their cards, but it just wasn't a thing that panned out. But all those things that I was internalizing, I just would be like, searching for what people would be saying online just in general, like about what to try and look out for, what people are looking out for, and just tried to be more conscious of things like that.
Gotcha.
I do remember one of the pages I had in that portfolio at San Diego, there was a page of people playing croquet, Mm-hmm. It looks like a page of a game of croquet where the characters were like sort of seething inside. So I think just like trying to make fun sequences out of sort of mundane things can be a good challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. So the latest Pink Lemonade is being published by Oni Press right now, very famous and longstanding publisher of indie comics. How did that relationship come about?
Well, it was sort of simple as I just sort of posted on social media. It was actually my birthday like a year and a half ago. I just wrote out there because I just finished work on issue 3 at that point, and I was just not knowing where I was going to go with any of that stuff at that point. So I just said, I just finished another issue. Anybody out there want to publish it? I'm looking for a new publisher. And I got a message from one of the editors at Oni that later that day. They just reached out to me and said, they saw that, and if you're interested, just hit us up.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Hey, so it was really long in the works after that point, but you know it was good to get something moving on that end.
Hmm. For sure. So you you originally funded Pink Lemonade with crowdfunding campaigns off of Indiegogo?
Yeah, I had my previous publisher was It's Alive, and they did a lot of crowdfunding campaigns like that, and that was pretty much how that came about originally.
What did you feel worked really well about the crowdfunding, and then kind of like what didn't?
Well, I didn't really have a whole lot of insight into the crowdfunding stuff, to be honest, because I didn't really run those. But, unfortunately, in some cases, some people wouldn't get stuff, but tried my best to make things right for them and get them their things. But, I'd say that's sort of the downside for me is to probably just try and have the whole control over those things if possible. Mm-hmm. So you have the, full insight into what's going on and where things are going and not getting blindsided by other things.
Right. Yeah, no, it makes sense. So your previous comics for Infinite Wonders and The Spirit of the Shadows, The Spirit of the Shadows seems like it's a little bit more of like a horror comic.
Yeah, a little bit of a horror romance book. Mm-hmm. Old school.
Yeah, had very when I checked that out, had like a harkening back to Tales from the Crypt vibes and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and then, definitely.
Yeah. And then Spirit of the Shadows started to move more towards the sort of, not superhero, but like it's not as horror. So what about those ones were inspirations? Like, were you really into horror comics as well as like superhero ones?
Yeah, a little bit, but I think sort of the inspiration for that was just in general was a lot of the old Universal horror monster movies and things like Cabinet of Dr. Caligari was a big influence on the Spirit of the Shadows, just that whole German expressionist sort of styling. And it was a fun experiment to really like push things because at that point, that was like 2015, I was in college, and it was just one of those kind of early projects where you're just throwing everything possible at the page just to see what works, you know, like going crazy with the layouts because you're not confident in your drawing capabilities to try and like distract from things.
Right.
There was a funny instance. My friend who worked on that with me, Daniel, he wrote that somehow we were able to get a visit with Todd McFarlane here locally. He lives here and he runs his business here. And we got to go into his office that year, and I got to bring in pages of Spirit of the Shadows because I thought that would be more up his alley, you know, with the Spawn stuff. And he was able to give me some tips on those pages and stuff, which was really nice. And he noticed, like, right away, he's like, "You got those crazy layouts," like, he said the line weights, I need to do more variation in the line weights. So immediately after that, the next page, I'm finally using different size pens to get those different weights going on. And that was just a nice little thing that happened. But that book was really fun to do. The year after, we actually, Daniel and I made a short film with the Spirit of the Shadows, where we really like pushed the German expressionistic qualities, because we made like little miniatures of weird buildings and such. Mm-hmm. I mean, we couldn't make like life-size buildings out of stuff because we're just sitting there in the garage making these things, and that was what we could do. So my grandma helped make me a costume, and it had like Christmas ribbons on it, and there was wires in there, so I would be getting poked while I was wearing this costume. Mm-hmm. So I got to dress up as that character for that project, which was it was a fun thing. It was really weird, but
that sounds like it's a lot of fun, and especially getting a chance to get your grandma involved and have that seems like a lot. It's like a friend of yours that that helps you with the comics. Always find that's a good recommend for people, is if they're going to make a comic, have somebody else that they're working with. It helps with like bouncing off ideas and whatnot.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's how the Infinite Wonder started too. Had a friend Tristan. He wrote those books, and those are really all those books are really like great learning experiences for me, because they were really like my first real like diving in and honestly trying to make some comics. And you know, it's each one of those you really see like the jumps, like I was saying earlier, the jumps in what you're doing. And the very, even before Infinite Wonders, that the very first thing my friend Tristan and I worked on in high school was a 90s parody book called Radical Force Extreme. Huh? And my art was so bad in that I only got a few pages in and I just abandoned it. Just because, like, you know, I think that's like an important thing for people, is like, you gotta just like be okay with like, you know, your first thing you do is not going to be looking great probably, and you just gotta keep finding those things to keep pushing yourself forward, and you'll get there. But that character in that Radical Force Extreme was I actually got to bring that character over to Pink Lemonade finally, like a decade later here. Uh-huh. Sort of going full circle, because there was really a great place for that character through the whole story, where it was sort of in a great like parallel to Pink Lemonade's journey. It really felt right.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So with your promotion for Pink Lemonade coming out with Oni Press, I've noticed on your socials that you're hitting a lot of like signings at local stores and stuff like that. As like an indie comic creator, like how important is those relationships with like local comic book stores, or how is it that you interact differently now with like the conventions that you go to, or do you?
Well, it's been great just going to the local shops for forever now, and then just like having them be on this journey too, like with the books coming out, and they've all been really, really supportive and kind, and letting me know like about things as they're happening, and how things are going on like retail sides of things, and like those kinds of finding out about that kind of stuff is just like really fascinating, and it's really, really cool to see too. But like the one place I was at just the last weekend, Ash Avenue Comics over in Tempe, I was going to that shop for the last like decade or so, ever since I was in high school. And it's just really cool just to be doing stuff at your shop like that, and them being reciprocating the feelings. And this coming Saturday, I'm going to be at Atomic Comics and up here in Chandler, Arizona. And Atomic was the place that I used to. They're like my original comic shop. And I'm not sure if you know the history there with them, but they actually closed like in 2011.
Oh, I do remember that.
Right, yeah, they closed their doors, and just last year, November, that they reopened finally. They reopened for business, and I thought last year, boy, it would be cool if I could, do a sign-in at Atomic, and somehow we were able to get that going, which is it's like really cool because. They were the place that I like first went to as a little kid.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like the manifesting there, right? Like you, it happened.
I didn't think I'd be able to since they went out of business,
No, that's great, man. Like that's super awesome. So switch gears on here a little bit because we were talking earlier, said you're a big Spider-Man fan, and it is Spider-Man's 60th anniversary this year, 60 years of Spider-Man being around. And we had just the local comic convention here, the FanX, the one they do in Salt Lake, was just recently, and I was lucky enough to be on panel for Spider-Man his 60 years. But I wanted to ask you a couple of questions that we had on there. So like what's your favorite Spider-Man storyline? Do you have one?
I
Kind of put you
don't
on the spot.
That's a good question though. I
Maybe
mean
not favorite one, but like a good one, like one that you like going, let you like going back to.
I can pull out some obscure ones here. I got a few potentially. I think just in general a pretty underrated Spider-Man run and era is the Paul Jenkins Mark Buckingham Peter Parker Spider-Man stuff. I think they had a lot of great just standalone issues and small story arcs that just really spoke to the heart at the center of it all. I think one of my favorites is there's a silent issue in there where Spider-Man's just fighting a bunch of evil mimes. It's just really well done and a fun comic. I think famously that run has like that the Uncle Ben baseball issue, which is a really, really good one. I think the Darwin Cook had some great standalone Tangled Web issues in there. There's a Valentine's one and a Christmas one that are just really great because they highlight a lot of supporting cast members, and that's like a great thing about Spider-Man is just the normal people in his life and the crazy antics they can get up to and just their day-to-day, and those issues are just really, really excel at that aspect. They sort of bring kind of like an Archie kind of feel to it, which I think is sort of part of in a little ways, like the Romita era of comics. They always say, like, the you know, with the Gwen, with the Gwen and MJ stuff. I mean, those are a few kind of under the radar ones that I always really liked. And you know, there was a 3-issue miniseries that Steve Rude drew that I really liked, because you know, it was Steve Rude art, and his art was like super clean and elegant, and like that kind of stuff like really drew me in, like finding books like that at a young age, because you know, the way they had Spider-Man moving was like he was like an acrobat, like on the page, like, you know, flowing like really cool. And just seeing, sort of seeing stuff like that, like what was capable on the page with drawing like that, it was just really cool to see.
Yeah, Steve Rude, he was on Nexus. He did Nexus for a long time, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's another Arizona person up here, apparently.
Okay. Very cool. No, I can see that as a, I can see in your artwork, like a lot of that flow in inspiration, the forms and whatnot. I can see you, all the different things that you're mentioning here. It's like, oh yeah, I could see that being in your art, and that being in your art. That's really cool.
My all-time favorite issue, though, probably is Amazing 33 with the final chapter. That's probably my all-time favorite. I mean, that's a classic story right there with the, I mean, even going past the Ditko 5-page sequence with him lifting the rubble, I think the rest of that issue is just as strong, because you got Spider-Man's like indomitable will to just keep going. And even as he's like at his breaking point, he's getting pummeled by all these dudes and he just doesn't give up. That's just good stuff.
Yeah.
I really like it.
No, that's really, my kids ask me who my favorite superhero is, and I always tell them it's Spider-Man, and they ask why, and I said there's the two things to him, right, is that he'll never give up, but he also has a good chance of losing.
Yeah, I love at the end of that issue, Peter's just like all bruised and all bandaged up, and he's just like, walking out there alone and sad and just facing the world still, you know?
Yeah. And so do you have, let's see, how about for favorite villain?
I might have to go with either Mysterio or the Hobgoblin. The original Hobgoblin, Roderick. But I always really like Mysterio though too, just because of the potential there on the page for doing all sorts of fun stuff. I think there's a really good underrated Mysterio story that J.M. DeMatteis wrote, and I think Michael Zulli illustrated. It was Web Spinner's Tales of Spider-Man. They had a little story where with Mysterio, and he has J. Jonah Jameson thinking he died and is in hell, and then there's like a spider demon there torturing him, and it's just really fun stuff, like inventive Mysterio stuff.
Yeah, no, that's pretty great. I did like also in the movie how they did the sort of crazy stuff with him and Spider-Man.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
They took their opportunity to like really flex their muscles with him and do something that felt like the Mysterio on the page.
Yeah, that one sequence was like a thing that everybody sort of dreamed about seeing, you know?
That seems like, I'm getting way off the subject here, but that always seemed like it was, they should have had that, a little bit more of that in the Doctor Strange movie. It also feels like it would have been at home there, like things that are flowing out of, you know, out of stuff and whatnot. Like they did the magic, but a lot of the stuff in Doctor Strange, they were just like shooting lightning bolts at each other.
I would agree 100%. Without getting too off course, I would like to see like more things just go weirder and wilder, because that's what they should be pulling from. That's the source right there.
Yeah.
You know, those Ditko Doctor Strange books are just full of insane imagery, and just generally most Doctor Strange books are. And you know, I want to see that sort of, you know, that level of fidelity just reflected back on the screen if they're doing stuff with those ideas.
They kind of touched on that in the Doctor Strange one when they were kind of blurring through those like several realities back to back. And the one was like they were made out of paint
It
was like, yeah, do that. We want that some more. I understand that's like you're blowing a lot of the FX budget there, you know what I mean? But like you said, that's kind of the deal if you're staying true to the source material.
Right. And I think that's sort of just my kind of approach in general with all this sort of stuff is just you can go like really weird and crazy with this stuff. You just gotta like really believe in what you're saying. And you know, I think as a result, people will believe it too if the love and the care is there, because I think a big thing that I've sort of like I've noticed that I've been focusing on is just like a lot of these ideas, they might be like kind of silly, like the OJ bot, for example. The funny story with that thing is it was born out of a spelling error in a text I sent to my friend Daniel nine years ago. I texted him, I was writing "oh boy," but I wrote OJ bot instead, and it stuck in my head ever since. And I'd been trying to get the character into things, but a lot of ideas, everybody would be telling me, "Oh, that's too silly. We can't do that." And I'm just like thinking to myself, I'll hold on to this. Don't you worry. I think just sort of that idea of, as you go along, you sort of ascribe like stories to these things in your head, and like you give them greater meanings, and it's just sort of like, you know, telling those stories so other people can find out about them too, you know.
Yeah, and but you can tell certainly in your artwork that you're having a lot of fun, and that it's a lot of like your sincerity and stuff comes across. And I think the authenticity of your book is helping a lot with connecting to the readers.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm really eager. I keep saying, because you know, the old issue 1 and 2 came out previously through It's Alive, and I'd been working ever since, like on the rest of the series here, and I've been holding on to so much work that I'm really excited about. And you know, issue 3 is like all the new stuff that nobody in the world has seen yet. And that was all done in like 2020, so I'm sitting on like 2 years of comics here that like all the hopeful progress that I've made in the craft, like I'm excited for people to see like that side of it, and just see like where the story beats go. Cause I think it should be surprising in good ways. Cause I was hoping to like try and make something that would be sort of like touching on sort of our landscape and like where we are with like the way we're consuming all this entertainment. Like there's so much of this comic book and superhero stuff around us nowadays, and it's just like I wanted to try and reflect on that a little bit and come at it from a certain angle.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. We're excited about that. I'm excited to see the new work, because your continuous improvement has shown through in the different works, through The Spirit of the Shadows and through Infinite Wonders, and now with what I've seen of Pink Lemonade, and what I've seen of that blew my mind, and now that there's other stuff that is an improvement from there, I mean, that's exciting. So like, if what's in what do you, you've got the like the upcoming issues of Pink Lemonade, and that's the near future. What's more of the far future for Nick Cagnetti? Are you like, do you have your sights set on like a bigger publisher? Do you just kind of seeing where this is leading you?
Well, a little bit of all those things, I'd say. I'm at the moment, I'm just mainly focusing on finishing up the final issue of the series here. It's six issues, and I'm almost done on issue six here. So just trying to bring it all home and with a nice tidy bow on top. And you know, I'm thinking about the next thing for sure, but I'm also thinking about, I would like to work on some licensed stuff at some point. That would be cool. Uh-huh. I have, you know, obviously Spider-Man's like the pinnacle goal there. Someday do something, uh-huh, something Spider-Man. I'd like to do some. Maybe like some video game stuff, like comic books, like Tomb Raider. I think there's been a lot of really good, fun Tomb Raider comics, but I think I could do something different with that.
Right.
Right now though, like the last year or so, I have been getting a nice little Spider-Man fill, because the podcast Amazing Spider Talk is had me do title cards for them, where I get to they go through the history of the comics. So lately they were around the Roger Stern run, so I've been getting to like interpret sort of in my own way some of those stories as like big title cards, and that was just fun to do, just sort of like as a side thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, that sounds like a lot of fun. Well, you know what? When you're on one of those books, I'll be able to say I met you back when. So, so people can go to their local comic book store and they could get Pink Lemonade right now. And if your local store doesn't have it, make sure that they order it. It's available in previews, I assume. So they can get it from there, or from wherever Oni is distributing through right now.
Yep. They're in previews and Lunar catalogs too, and I think you can get them on the Oni website, and they just went up on Comixology too, the first issue.
Awesome. Oh yeah, that's right, the digital issue. So yeah, if you're in like a research station somewhere in northern Alaska, you can still enjoy Pink Lemonade on your iPad up there, depending on how your internet connection is.
Thankfully for that, because I was hoping to get those on digital for a while now, and thankfully they're out there.
Right on. Cool beans. So where is the best place? So our listeners are all bought in now. Where's the best place to connect with you and follow your work and your journey through, you know, all this stuff on your way to conquering comic books?
Probably my Instagram or my Twitter or Facebook, pretty much all over the place. I have that Radical Realm Comics website too, which is just sort of a hub for all my comic book work. But my Instagram is Fudgy1Nick. It's FUDGY1, and then my name. And my Twitter is NCAGS. And the Facebook is just Nick Cagnetti Comics.
Awesome. Thank you so much for spending some time with me and talking your comics and Spider-Man, and I wish you the best of luck, and me and everyone will be watching all of your success with great anticipation.
I appreciate it, Chris. Thanks for having me on. I hope everybody enjoys the ride with Pink Lemonade, because it should be a pretty wild one.